Thanks for listening. The following is an audio presentation from High Country Christian Church. For more information, please visit www.highcountrychristian.com.
In this series called Help Me, Holy Spirit. Help Me, Holy Spirit. I was riding around, or well, actually, it started before I was even mowing the lawn. I was sitting down. We had just finished breakfast. It was spring break, so the kids were home. And I'd made some food for everybody, and we were sitting down, and I was enjoying my cappuccino. And as I was enjoying my cappuccino, I had my Bible in front of me, and I opened the Bible to the Word, and I said, Lord, what is it that you want to talk to your church about this week? I had an idea of where I wanted to go. But I said, what is it that you want to talk to your church about? And he didn't say anything. And so I thought, well, that's great. I'll just keep reading the Bible anyways for my own pleasure. And that's what I did, and had a great time. But it was about an hour and a half later, I was riding around on my lawnmower, and I began to pray in tongues, and I began to pray in the Holy Spirit. And I prayed in tongues for probably about 30 minutes. It takes me just under an hour to mow my lawn. And so I was probably about 30 minutes in, and the Holy Spirit just abruptly started to speak to me about this message. And so I thought, well, this is cool. I'm excited about this, Lord. Help me, Holy Spirit. And so I began to meditate on this, and I thought that this was going to be, you know, two parts, three parts, tops. As I spent the remainder of last week compiling this message and compiling the series, I thought, there's no way that I can possibly teach this in less than 7 weeks. So we're just going to go with it, okay? I'm excited about it. So the series is titled, Help Me, Holy Spirit. We are going to look in this series at the multitude of ways in which the Holy Spirit desires and promises to help us as believers. The Holy Spirit desires and he promises to help us as believers. In studying this topic, you discover that the Holy Spirit's desire is to help and advise us, watch this, in every single area of life. Every single area of life. Nothing is off limits to the Holy Spirit unless we make it off limits to the Holy Spirit. There's no place in life that he is not interested in counseling us and in helping us. There's not one part of life he doesn't want to be involved in. This means that you will never face a problem that he can't solve. You'll never face an issue that he's not already prepared to coach you through. You'll never face a situation that he doesn't have an answer for. You'll never walk through a season that he doesn't already know the way through that season. You'll never, think about this one, you'll never celebrate a victory alone. So you always think about it in the negative terms, but you'll never celebrate a victory alone. The Holy Spirit's at the finish line, excited for you to cross. The Holy Spirit is running the race with you. He's there involved with you. There's no part of your life that he doesn't want to help you in. So we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit helps us. So the purpose of me teaching this, obviously, in a series, as I started to compile this, I was realizing, man, this is huge. This topic is way big. And the reason that I teach in series, just so you know, is because it's impossible to cover anything in the Bible in 40 minutes. Anytime, you can't do any kind of, you know, substantive work through Scripture in a single sermon. And so it's impossible for us to cover this kind of stuff in a single message. So my challenge is to you is to commit to come and be here for as many of these as you're able to. We're going to spend these next 6-7 weeks in this series. Come so that you can stay on track with what's going on. Okay? So I want to just challenge you and encourage you in that. So let's look at the book of John as we begin this series. And we're going to go to John 14. Jesus is going to make a statement for us in John 14 that is going to set this whole discussion up for us. John chapter 14, verse 16. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit has the answer for every question you'll ever have? Aren't you glad that he's way smarter than you? Amen. I was driving one time, and I've probably shared this. I know I've shared this before, but it's valid again. I was driving down the road. We had just moved to North Carolina. We had been here less than a year, actually probably less than 6 months. And I, when we moved, I left a business behind, and my wife left her career in the Florida school systems behind. And we kind of came up here by faith, you know. And so I wanted to get back into design business, which is what I'd been doing for a while in Florida and having some success with it. And so I had a meeting with a guy who publishes a magazine here. And we sat down, and he was very eager to take advantage of my talent as a graphic designer. And I couldn't figure out whether I really liked this guy yet or not. And he was talking about all this possibility and all this potential and all this, oh, you can make great money and yada, yada, yada. So one day I'm driving down 421 back to my house. I'd had a meeting with this guy. And I said, Lord, I don't know. What do you think about this dude? What do you think, Lord? I said, I don't know what to do. I was kind of complaining to God. I was like, I don't know what to do. I'm at a loss. And the Holy Spirit said these words, and I'll never forget them. He said, son, I know everything there is to know about everybody all the time. I was like, whoa. It struck me. I knew that that was true, but it caught me by surprise because I wasn't thinking right when I was pouring out my complaint to the Lord, you know? He said, I know everything there is to know about everything, about everybody, all the time. We will never catch the Holy Spirit off guard. You know, God's never said this before? God's never said this. You know, it just occurred to me. You know, he's never said that. He's never said that. You see, when we think and when we reason, we do so to try to discover something. We think to try to discover. We think to try to arrive at a conclusion. God doesn't think that way. That's why the Bible says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Why? Because he and we don't think the same. He already knows the answer, so to him it's not a question. Now that's encouraging to me because as I begin to realize that the Holy Spirit's desire is to help me, as I realize that his desire is to help me, I can realize that there's no question I'll ever have that he doesn't have the answer to already. There's no problem that I'll ever face that he doesn't already know the way out. Amen? So, Jesus makes a statement here in John chapter 14, verse 16. Let's read it. John 14, 16. Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Everybody say helper. He will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth. Who's the helper? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. Will you take the volume down just a shade? You know him, for he dwells with you and he will be, what's the promise? In you. It's not just good enough to God for his Spirit to be with you. It was his desire ultimately for his Spirit to be in you. This is why Jesus tells the disciples, it's better for me to go. Because as soon as I leave, I can send the comforter. I can send the helper. You know, Jesus, Isaiah prophesied about the coming of Jesus. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Isaiah prophesies, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel. Do you know what Emmanuel means? God with us. Jesus was God with us. The Holy Spirit is God in us. That's his desire. That was the final destination. That was the intention. It wasn't just good enough for Jesus to come and be with us. Look what he says. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, verse 17, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. How do we know him, Jesus? Because he's with you right now. But he's going to be in you. What a promise. Do you know that the answer to every problem you have is in you right now?
Yes.
Glory to God. You realize every issue that you will face from now until the day Jesus dies or Jesus comes back or you die, whatever happens first. Every problem and challenge that you face, you already have the response and you already have the answer in you. Because the Holy Spirit is in you. And he's way bigger than we give him credit for. And he's way smarter than we think. Let's look at this word helper, verse 16. This is amazing. Here Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as the helper. Some other translations may read comforter. It's the same word in the Greek. And it's the word which comes from two different words. It's the word parakletos. And para means alongside. Kletos, it comes from the word kaleo, which means to call. He's called alongside. One biblical scholar writes this way. This is how he translates this word. When the two words compound into one, it gives the picture of someone who has come closely alongside of another person for the sake of speaking to him, consoling him, comforting him, or assisting him with instruction, counsel, or advice. That's what the word helper means to you and to me. It's the one who comes alongside of us to give consolation, comfort, assisting, instruction, counsel, and advice. He's in you right now. This is why Isaiah called him Wonderful Counselor. You know, the Holy Spirit, he knows way more. And we sometimes, for some reason, because we don't think right, forget that he has all wisdom, that he has all knowledge, that he has all understanding, that everything, that like he said to me, I know everything about everybody all the time. There's no surprises in the kingdom. And you know what that means? Not only is there no surprises, there's no emergencies in the kingdom of God. I want you to think about that for just a second. There are no emergencies in the kingdom. Let me tell you something about the way the devil works. The devil wants you to believe it's a crisis. Okay? Can I be honest with you? The devil wants you to believe it's coming apart at the seams. It's a crisis. Friend, there are no emergencies in the kingdom of God because we have the wisest, most intelligent, most amazing, omniscient, omnipotent, incredible God living on the inside of us right now. There are no emergencies, man. He comes alongside to console, comfort, assist, give instruction, give counsel, and give advice. Now watch this. This means, this word helper, parakaleo, called alongside, this means that the Holy Spirit is both called to come alongside and that he comes alongside to call. Another way that this word was used was to describe Roman centurions that were in charge. You know, a centurion was a soldier that was in charge of 100 men. So the centurion was the paraclete. He was the one that was called to come alongside the rest of those 100 soldiers and give instruction to them and encourage them and strengthen them about the battle they were getting ready to fight. So not only is he called to come alongside, but he comes alongside to call. He comes alongside to speak. Do you know the Holy Spirit will speak to you every day if you'll listen? If you'll incline your ear, like the book of Proverbs chapter 4 says, incline your ear to my sayings. If you fasten your ear on God's lips, he'll talk every day. He desires to come alongside and call to us to give legal counsel, like a lawyer. I don't know if you ever had to go to court for anything. But if you ever had to go to court, they'll give you, you can get a court-appointed lawyer. And you know what that court-appointed lawyer does? He tells you what you need to know so that the outcome can be good for you. Yeah, it's interesting. He tells you everything you need to know about the legal system. Because when you go to court, you're entering into a world that you and I know nothing about. Right? I don't know what the protocol is to talk to the judge. I don't even know what that lady is called that presses the buttons, the types. I don't know what she's called. I do know the bailiff. He's the sheriff, right? I think. You're in a world you don't know anything about. So this legal advisor comes along to help coach you through the trial. That's what the Holy Spirit is there for. He wants to coach you. He wants to provide insight. He wants to show you all that there is to know about a world that you may or may not know anything about. You may go into a situation, but because you have the Spirit of God in you, you never have to go into it blind. Amen? Now, one other quick thing before we talk about how he helps us. I want you to notice here, in verse 16, I will pray, look at the words of Jesus, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, another helper, that he may abide with you forever. I want you to notice that the Father gives the Holy Spirit to us. The presence of the Holy Ghost in your life is a gift. Did you hear what I said? The presence of the Holy Ghost in your life is a gift from God to you. That tells us that you need to cherish the gift that's been given. You and I need to learn to cherish the presence of the Holy Spirit in us because that presence is a gift from our Father to us. You know what this proves? This proves that the best things in life are not earned, they're received. The Holy Spirit and his presence and his voice is a gift in our life. The best things in this world are not earned. They're received. Amen? The best thing you got in your life didn't come because you worked for it. It came because God loves you and he's gracious and he has a great plan for you. Amen? So the Father has given unto us the Holy Spirit. His voice and his presence is a gift. Now, for the remainder of this series, that kind of is the introduction, okay? Now, for the remainder of this series, what we are going to do is look at attributes of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to answer this question. How does he help us? If the Holy Spirit is heaven's wise master counsel, if the Holy Spirit is the Father's legal advice for you, how does that legal advice come to us? How does he help us? How does he come alongside of us and console us and give wisdom? The Bible is full, chock full of ways that the Holy Spirit helps us. That's why I said when I started getting into studying this and pulling this together, I thought, there's no way I can teach this in a couple weeks. It would be impossible. So how does he help us? We're going to take two attributes a week. And the first two attributes that I want us to look at, the first two answers to this question, how does he help us? Number one, he reveals. Number two, he seals. I want you to remember this. If you're taking notes, please write those words down. He reveals and he seals. Go with me, if you would, to John chapter 15, one page over. John chapter 15. How does the Holy Spirit help us? Number one, he reveals Jesus to us. He reveals Jesus to us. If for some reason you don't get anything else out of what I'm saying this morning, please, please, please get this. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. This is the most important revelation you will ever have from now until eternity. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus on a personal level to each one of us. Now let's look at it. I've got several different scriptures to validate that, okay? John 15, verse 26. This is amazing. Almost the same words as the previous chapter. Verse 26, Jesus speaking, he says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father," watch this, "he will testify of me." Do you know that the first thing the Holy Spirit does when he encounters you is to point you to Jesus? Amen. That's his primary objective. That's the first thing he wants to help you with, is to help you get to Christ. Amen. His job is to reveal Jesus to us. One of the things that I get frustrated about sometimes when I look over the culture of church in America is I get frustrated that we get pointed to a lot that isn't necessarily Jesus. And I have to wonder if the Holy Spirit is in that, because the Holy Spirit's the one that points us to Christ. So I look around and I see all these different kinds of things happening in the world, and I go, well, does that really glorify Christ? Or is that just a tidy organization? I don't know about you, but when I think about our church, I want more than anything for us to glorify Jesus. Amen. I don't want it to ever become about me or about you. I want it to always be about him and his desire for his church. Amen. So the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. Let's look again at this. Flip over just one more page to John 16, verse 14. Here it is again. Actually, let's begin reading from verse 13, okay? Verse 13. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." Who's all truth, by the way? Who is that? That's Jesus, right? Didn't Jesus say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life"? "When he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth," meaning he will guide you into me. He will take you and reveal me to you. "He will guide you into all truth." Let's keep reading. "For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak." Watch this. "He will tell you things to come." Oh man, aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit will give you insight into tomorrow? Aren't you glad that you don't have to go into that situation without some wisdom? Aren't you glad you don't have to go into that meeting with your customer, your client, with, you know, blind? That you don't have to go into that meeting with the person, you know, on your job that you're kind of nervous about? You don't have to go into that meeting alone. He'll give you wisdom and insight to come. See, we got to get practical about this. It's real easy for us to say, well, praise God, he's going to give us wisdom and revelation. What does that mean? That means that when you go to meet with your client on Tuesday, the Holy Spirit will talk to you before you get there. And he'll tell you what you need to say in that meeting. Amen. That means that when you wake up in the morning and you spend your quiet time with God, he's going to give you insight for the day. And he'll tell you, avoid this situation. Or he'll tell you, go talk to this person. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. He wants to lead you and direct you and guide you. He wants to show you things to come. This, let me tell you something. This puts you at an infinite advantage. Okay? This puts you at an infinite advantage. He wants to lead you and tell you things to come. Now, verse 14, this was where I wanted to get to. "He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." He will glorify me. Who said that? Jesus, right? Jesus said that the job of the Holy Spirit, the priority of God's Spirit, is to glorify the Son. This is amazing to me. It's amazing to me, the beautiful unity of the Godhead. The Son exists to glorify the Father. The Spirit exists to glorify the Son. Amazing. This ought to tell you that if you ever encounter anything that seems to be the Holy Spirit but doesn't glorify Jesus, you need to look real hard at what you're observing. You need to stop. Count to 10. Okay? If you see activity that is, I'm going to do air quotes now for those listening. If you see activity that is quote unquote Holy Spirit, but doesn't point to and glorify and exalt the person of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, if it doesn't point to him, you need to question real hard about whether or not it's the Holy Spirit. Amen? Take time to discern. Is this pointing to Jesus? Is this glorifying Jesus? Or is somebody's flesh getting benefited from whatever activity is going on? These are questions we need to be aware of. Okay? Finally, Acts chapter 5, verse 32. You doing okay? Acts 5, verse 32. I love this. And we are his witnesses, that of course speaking of Jesus, we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey. Didn't you see that? Here's the disciples, and they're saying, we're witnesses of everything that Jesus did. You know who else was a witness? The Holy Ghost. He points to Jesus, man. He directs towards Jesus. The primary objective of the Holy Spirit is to personally reveal Jesus to everyone. As a matter of fact, this is what the church is built on. Do you remember Matthew 16? Do you remember when Jesus is speaking with his disciples and he asks the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What is Peter's response? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. And I call you Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. What is Jesus building his church on? He's building his church on you and 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 everybody in this room getting a personal revelation that he's the Christ. That is what the entire church across the globe, across the ages of time, is built on. Jesus builds his church. I was talking to my dad about this yesterday, and I made this statement, and I thought, this is kind of tweetable. Jesus builds his church one brick at a time, and every brick is one person that gets a revelation that he's the Christ. Every time somebody gets a revelation that Jesus is the Messiah, that one person is a brick that gets added to the building. That's how Jesus is building his church. Friends, it's not through really crafty missions outreach programs. It's not through great small groups. It's not because you have a great ministry of worship. It's not built on the kids' ministry. It's not built on comfortable chairs. It's not built on lights, camera, action. It's built on you getting a personal revelation from the Holy Spirit that Jesus is Lord. That's why the Holy Ghost works hard to point to Jesus. The greatest revelation that you'll ever receive from the Holy Spirit is the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. Now, we said he reveals. Number two, how does the Holy Spirit help us? He seals. He seals. I don't mean the animal. No, I'm not talking about, there's no beach balls here. He seals the believer. Go with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. This is going to mess you up. Oh, I'm so excited for you to get messed up by this. Ephesians chapter 1, this is beautiful. I I began to see this, and as I began to see it, I almost cried because I said, Father, I'm seeing this with new eyes. You've got to help me to communicate this the way that you're showing it to me right now. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll look at verse 13. Paul's writing here and he says, in him, that's Jesus, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, watch this, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So how does the Holy Spirit help us? Number one, he reveals. He reveals Jesus. Number two, he seals. He seals us as believers. Verse 14, he is the guarantee of our inheritance. Did you see that? The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee that everything Jesus said was true. He's the guarantee that everything Jesus modeled and demonstrated for us about the Father is accurate. Because you remember what Jesus said to Philip? He said, Philip, how long must I be with you? Philip says, show us the Father and that'll be sufficient. Philip says, how long must I be with you, Philip? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So everything that Jesus demonstrated and modeled about the Father and about our inheritance in God, the Holy Spirit is the seal that says that's accurate. Let me break this word down for you. Actually, first, let's read it from the New Living Translation. This verse 13 from the NLT says, and now you Gentiles, having also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. This word sealed, again, not the water-dwelling mammal, the word sealed here means to seal up or to conceal and set a mark upon by impressing with a seal or a stamp. I'm going to read it to you one more time and then I'm going to try to drive it home. It means to seal or to conceal up and set a mark upon by impressing with a seal or a stamp. This word here used is amazing. It describes the process of royal communication in the ancient world. Okay? Royal communication. Do you remember the book of Daniel when Daniel's thrown into the lion's den? Do y'all remember that? King Darius puts a lid over the lion's den of stone, and he comes and takes wax and puts wax on the lip of the lid and takes his signet ring and impresses his ring in the wax so that he knows when he comes back tomorrow to check on Daniel, if the seal's been tampered with, he'll know that there's been some problem. This was a practice that kings and nobility had in the ancient world when they would give a decree. When they would make or write a law or communicate some kind of decree, they would take that decree and they would put it on parchment paper, and then they would take that parchment. I mean, imagine you're a king. Imagine you're a king and you want to write a law to somebody, or you want to write a royal communication to someone. You take the time to write out on parchment all the things that you want to say. And then you roll that parchment up, or perhaps you put it into an envelope. You put it into some vessel, and then at the place where that envelope closes, you take wax and you melt and drip wax on there, and then as the wax hardens, you take your signet ring and you press your signet ring in there so everybody knows when they look at the letter whose letter it is. Everybody knows where this came from and who it belongs to. And this is what this is the language Paul uses to describe the help of the Holy Spirit. He seals us. Meaning, God took your life and, like a document, wrote things on you and wrote on the inside of you. And when he did that, he rolled you up and he set the Holy Spirit on you like his signet ring, saying, this one belongs to me. And what he's saying is that everything that this letter reads is from me. You got to get this, man. I want to make sure I'm communicating this well. Think about Ezekiel chapter 36. What does Ezekiel 36 say? He said he would write his laws on my heart. The moment you got saved, God transcribed his law and his nature and his perfection and his goodness and his love. It was shed abroad on the inside of you like a king writing a law on a piece of parchment. He wrote all of his goodness on the inside of you. And then in order to make it official, he rolled you up and stamped you with the Holy Spirit so that, number one, people know that you belong to him because they see the seal. And number two, they know that whatever comes out of the inside reflects the nature and the desire of the one who wrote it. This is what it means. How many times you read this scripture and just go right past it? This is what it means for you to be sealed by the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you've ever questioned your value to God. I don't know if you've ever questioned whether or not he's worked on your behalf, whether or not you're changed. I don't know if you've ever questioned that or not. I have. I remember as a little kid, I used to lay in bed and pray, talk to the Lord and say, Father, I give you my life, Jesus. I want to be saved. And I would pray that prayer over and over and over again, just to be sure that I was going to make it to heaven. I don't know if you've ever done anything like that. I don't know if you've ever questioned your worth or doubted your value to God, or if you've ever doubted whether or not or questioned whether or not you were secure in God. Let me tell you, if the Holy Spirit's working in your life, you're sealed, man. If the presence of God and the voice of God in your life is proof that something's been written on your heart. He sealed us up. He's proof of God's ownership of you. He's the proof. If you've ever felt his presence near to you, if you've ever responded to his voice, then that's proof, man. That's all you'll ever need to know that, man, God's law is written on my heart and I've been sealed up. The Holy Spirit was given to you to help you, to help your life. How does he help you? He reveals and he seals. He shows you Jesus. And after he shows you Jesus, God writes on your heart. And then the Holy Spirit comes and seals it all together. He puts his signet. He is heaven's signet ring in your life. It's proof that something good's been written on your heart. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father,
we hope that this message inspired you and filled your heart with faith. If you would like to visit our church, check out www.highcountrychristian.com for service times and location information. Thanks again for listening to this audio presentation from High Country Christian Church, where Jesus loves you, we love you, and your life counts.